Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are you?
Good.
All right. Here we go. Well, a bit more like fall these days.
Yeah.
So we're moving into a new season. Here at Neighbors of Hope, we've been spending some time looking more in-depth on prayer. It is a spiritual discipline that I'm sure our listening audience is well familiar with and is much needed by all of us to stay connected with God and God's lead in our life and things like that. But so in that vein of thought, we thought we'd look at a prayer of King David from the Old Testament. And that would be Psalm 51. Right? Mark, you want to go ahead and read Psalm 51 for us?
I do.
Yes, I do. All right.
Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, I have sinned and done what is evil in thy sight. So that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from thy presence, and do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted to thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Thou God of my salvation, then my tongue will joyfully sing of thy righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare thy praise. For thou dost not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. Thou art not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. By thy favor do good to Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem. And thou wilt delight in righteous sacrifices. In burnt offering and whole burnt offering, then young bulls will be offered on thine altar.
Well, thank you. All right, anything jump out at you?
Anything right at the beginning when he was talking about, Nathan called him out. And if anything's something you got to be open to, that accountability, that and so quick we're surrounding people in our lives that don't call us on our stuff. You know, they pass on our back when we're wrong, they agree with us, you know, but the ones that I'm going to call you out and tell you, hey, you're messing up, or you're, you know, this or that or another thing. But then part two, just real quick, is I always loved, I don't want to say favorite character, but one of the men in the Bible that I always liked was David. He wasn't perfect, but he always owned up to it. He faced it, and he didn't run from it. And I think that's how he rose above it, like, even before God or anybody else, or even when somebody called him out, he knew what he did, and he owned up to it. And I don't see a lot of, especially nowadays, I don't see people taking ownership for not only what they've done, you know. And then later down the road, Jesus comes from the same line. He takes ownership for something he didn't do, you know. So it even took a step farther for me. But, it's hard taking that criticism, though. It's hard when somebody calls you out, especially you know you've done wrong, and then, then own up to it.
It begs a question, right? If we trivialize sin so much that we fail to really sense deeply, right, the power of sin. Right? And I think you're right. I think here, David starts out recognizing that he feels deeply the power of his sin, which ought to move us. And so there's just kind of this movement within the psalm itself, within the prayer, right? Well, have mercy. Right, love that little section in Luke. Right, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's simple. Jesus flat out says, "Who do you whose prayer do you think he heard? The Pharisees, the elaborate prayer, or the tax collector? You know, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And here's King David, have mercy on me. I've been a sinner since my youth. So he does. He's in connection with the power of his sin. Right? And you're right, there aren't many people that call us out. You know, that on our sin. And that helps, I think, in today's culture, you know, trivialize sin. I mean, everything's a sin, everybody's doing it, so let's just tolerate everything.
When we go public with a highlight, see people's sins, but nobody, I know it's the 21st century, especially the social media stuff. I know we have to go back to this method, is where I put a thing on somebody I thought was better. But you know, may your life be as exciting as you put out here on social media, you know, because we just put all the highlights. Like it's like a ESPN reel. Like this is what I've done. And like that, like look at me standing before you. Like the same thing. And then here's the sinner saying, "Oh look, I'm beating on my chest, bearing it all. You know, forgive me, have mercy on me." We don't put it out there. We live in such a, it's even society. You know, it's all about the good things. You know, nobody wants to.
It is interesting because when he talks about later, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. You know, this there's kind of this spiritual discipline of secrecy. And it's not about keeping a secret. It's about me doing the right works of God without trying to get attention. And when I do the right works, I don't need to splash it out on social media. You know, we went to, Honduras and we painted a school building. So we took a bunch of pictures of our youth group with the indigenous people, you know, so we can splash it all over our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Right? No. I don't need to do all that.
For me, that integrity, you know, that yes, but no one knows, it's me. My biggest thing is what I do when nobody's looking. You know, that's when my true test comes. Like, when it's that secret, it's me. Nobody else is watching. There's no, you know, that's when it really comes up. You know, when you have nobody to impress, nothing to prove, you're still going to do the right thing.
Right, exactly. You know? That's what he's talking about. And in order to do that, I mean, he prefaces that as we're moving through this kind of his prayer of repentance. Then he says, you know, in a sense, reinvigorate a deep desire for you in my heart, you know, the center of my being. And we talked earlier about desire, right? And so then where do we attach that desire? You know, when we wrongly attach that deep desire for God to something other than God, in here we call that addiction. Right? The Bible calls it sin, which means everybody's an addict because everybody's a sinner. And so we have to wrestle with it, all of us, right? Whether it be here at Neighbors of Hope or at the local church, in the community, and I'm sure everyone listening to Word Made Flesh this morning. These are things we all have to wrestle with. All right, so you were going to say something.
Yes, I like verses 16 and 17. For thou dost not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I will give it. Thou art not pleased with burnt offering. Sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. So I think in like this modern times where a lot of these, I think a lot of new age churches that come, they like to kind of, like you said, trivialize sin. It's like they like to call sins like mistakes.
Yeah, accidents, right, I'm with you.
And it's, but, you know, I want to be like David. I want to be broken by my sin. Because God is my Father, he's not going to judge me out of some arbitrary law book and acquit me because of some works I did. He wants me to have a broken heart over disobeying him. So that's what I think everybody needs to read this psalm every day.
David shows a cool amount of like the malleability of ourselves. It kind of reminds me of that part in Jeremiah in the potter's house. Where you know he's making the pot and he sees that it's not forming the way, so he crushes it and makes it new. I think 7 through 14 really hits me hard today with, you know, God is, in David's eyes, God's the cleanser and the crusher. in a way, and he's okay with that. He's not only that, but it's necessary for him to, like, yes, I've made mistakes. Yes, this is right on the heels of Bathsheba killing Uriah. Nathan saying, you know what, that's you. The story he tells him that kind of brings his sin to light. Like Zach said, when he calls him out, he holds him accountable. You know, we see so many cool spiritual principles in this. And then, you know, I mean, I see it just this transformation with him of like, he identifies with who he is. I've messed up. God broke me. And then, where is it here in 13? Break me. Now I've been restored to the joy of your salvation. In 13, he moves on to like, hey, now I will teach transgressors your ways. You know, it's this whole process of embracing our junk, embracing what every one of us has been through and not making light of it, like you were talking about, you know, not this whole process of like, I tripped on the sidewalk, so now I'm going to play like I'm running, look back, you know. No, stop and let God break your anchor and take a minute and think about what you're doing. You know, I don't know. It's David's Psalms are so beautiful, but this is like, this seems to be that, just that crux moment for him. It's like, man, I can't live like this anymore.
Yeah, there's, you know, that little section there is kind of heavy duty laundry language going on there.
Yeah.
All right. And God wants to be it all. All right. So let's just stop the lying. So let God, you know, be the washing machine, and let God be the laundry detergent, and let God be the agitator, right? The whole thing. Purge me. And God is in the business of restoration. I mean, we see that in the New Testament, Colossians, Book of Acts. You know, I will restore all of creation, right? All of it, not some of it, all of it. And so there's an invitation, coming back to Brennan Manning's Ruthless Trust, an invitation to trust God, that God wants to restore us. But, you know, we're never going to let God restore us if we think we're already immaculate.
Right? If you don't see, like, the true depravity of your own sin, you'll never appreciate the enormity of God's grace.
Yep, amen. Yep, that's exactly what it is. And kudos to David, that when the scales kind of fall off his eyes, so to speak, and he sees that he's kind of wandered off the path quite a bit, right? And we all do. We all wander off the path. The beautiful thing is we can always get back to the path, and God wants to bring us back to the path. And there is the challenge here to embrace our brokenness. Right? I mean, there's a whole theology of brokenness there. And usually that path of brokenness is a journey of downward mobility. Well, we tend to wander off the path is when we are committed to a progress of upward mobility. Power, prestige, all those kind of things. Right? And a lot of humility here with David.
He shows us such a cool path to that, too, with it, like the descending journey to Christ with, you know, like I've flooded my bed with tears, my heart is melted like wax, you know, this whole, he really goes through this process of like, no, you first gotta lose yourself to find yourself type theology. That's beautiful, you know.
And he's a king.
Right.
Right? Right, right. So of all people, he would think he's the one that doesn't have to.
Correct.
And so you talk about modeling, right? A journey towards reconnection and restoration with God. I think this prayer of David's right here. I agree with you 100%. Ought to be our prayer every day. Because right? There is something in this prayer, all right, that's going to hit you every day. All right, Gemma, appreciate your insights and sharing with our listening audience on this edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a women's and children's transitional housing program. Find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.